This is the Big Web Show, episode number 39. This show is about everything web that matters. That's the best way to describe it. And it's hosted by Jeffrey Zeldman, founder and creator of Happy Cog, among many other things, and by Dan Benjamin, that's me. And today's show is brought to you by Rackspace Hosting, who would like to ask, do you, Jeffrey Zeldman, have what it takes to be king? Build a unique and innovative app using Rackspace Cloud Files, and you can compete to become king of the apps. The first King of the Apps contest will be held during the Lean Startup Track at South by Southwest, where Jeffrey Zeldman will be in Austin, Texas, and the top prize is worth 10 grand. So you can learn more and enter to win at rackspace.com/king of the apps. And we'd also like to thank Shopify.com, the internet's most elegant, customizable, and affordable hosted e-commerce platform. You can take advantage of Shopify's thriving theme and application community and add beauty and depth to your site. And if you'd like, somebody like Jeffrey Zeldman could use their own HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, and they could customize their storefront if they wanted. And for a limited time, you can join Shopify and get your first 3 months free using the code 5x5. A shop in minutes, a business for life, Shopify.com. No further ado, Jeffrey Zeldman, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. After a long winter, we're having spring-like weather here in New York. My window's open, and I'm looking. I'm expecting a pigeon to fly in any minute, but it's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
Brian is also in the New York area.
Brian Alvey, our guest.
Indeed.
In New York City by Times Square.
Wow. You are? Okay. Yep. Is that your office for CrowdFusion?
It is, actually. About a block off of Times Square. Great view of the river, all the boats, everything. It's gorgeous here.
That's fantastic. I like
I'll walk you guys around later and show you the view on the webcam.
Cool. I'm in Times Square a lot with my daughter. We just go to Toys R Us, though.
Mm.
Basically.
I hear you.
We go to Toys R Us. There's a little Ferris wheel, and
it's not little. It's like seven stories tall. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
She rides that, but she won't ride the escalator. She's afraid of the escalator, but we'll ride on the Ferris wheel. It's great. So I'm not going to waste any time on that because Brian is a most amazing man. Brian, if you've seen Blade Runner, you remember the cop saying, I got 5 skinnable hot jobs on the street. Well, Brian is the man who brought us the skinnable hot jobs the 90s.
Oh, God.
That was a terrible pun, but Brian is known for his terrible, terrible puns. Brian is one half.
Get used to it, Brian.
Brian is one half of the most famous good cop, bad cop duos on the web. Of course, they're both really good cops, but that's how good cop, bad cop duos work. It's roles. And with Jason Calacanis having invented Weblogs Inc., home to Engadget, Autoblog, et cetera, and Brian built the Blogsmith platform, and Weblogs Inc. and the Blogsmith platform were both acquired by AOL and are essential to their strategy of staying relevant. Brian has been involved in web content and web CMSs forever. We met in like 1995 when you were an art director for Web Surfer magazine or Net Surfer.
Cyber Surfer.
Cyber was, Surfer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think was 94, 95. Yeah.
Yeah. I had like 4 web pages at inch.com and Cyber Surfer had reviewed them because there was nothing else to do on the web at the time.
Like we had a whole issue that was like, it was the Web 100, and we went and so I think the first issue, we were doing this for Starlog a long time ago, this print magazine with Jason. And just one correction for you there, we were never good cop, bad cop. It was like bad cop, insane cop. So when people would deal with us, they're like, oh, thank God I'm finally talking to Brian because Jason's out there. And it's like, no, I'm just as much of a pain. I'm just a little less insane. So we did a magazine for Starlog called Cyber Surfer, and they wanted it to be CD-ROM reviews back in the days of like Doom 2 or something like that.
Right. The really New York's whole early web scene came out of the CD-ROM scene.
Right. Yep. New media. Exactly. Back then, new media was new. And so we did that for a little bit, but we preferred like Pipeline and Delphi and this web browser called Mozilla 0.9, and I think animated GIFs didn't exist yet. GIFs came out. That was mind-blowing. And we had entire issues where I would take screenshots of like the Blade Runner FAQ, speaking of your horrible joke before, and because if it's not my pun, it's horrible. And so I would take screenshots of these and stitch them all together, and we'd actually print them in a magazine. So people who were working on the web in 94, 95 would be like, they'd write us and go, I've never actually seen my whole website at one time because my monitor at work is 640 by 480.
Right.
And I built this Blade Runner FAQ, and it goes like 20 screens down, but here it is in the sidebar of your review of, you know, the top 10 underground sites on the web or the top 10 sports sites, you know, back when everything had a gray background. So it's pretty
did
wild.
Did you have to build a custom tool to create that, to create those?
Photoshop. Just Photoshop. I paid the Photoshop tax. So that was it.
That was Photoshop 2.0 back then, if I recall correctly.
Who knows? I mean, I used PageMaker 1. I mean, I'm like we said, I'm old.
So. Yeah, you're not. You're 38?
40. I'll be 41 in a couple weeks.
I look back on that age as younger than me. So, you know, there's always that part of it. Yeah, okay. So, and not to dwell too much on them, you designed the first – I'm still doing your intro, by the way. You designed the first TV Guide website. You helped Business Week get on the web, leave AOL and get on the web. Not leave AOL, but move from AOL to the web. You launched Blogstakes. You ran a conference that I found very influential with Jason, but you were really the content driver on that show. It was called Meet the Makers in New York. I think you did it elsewhere too, but I attended a couple of those, and they, you know, I know that inspired me to start my own show. We could go on and on. So I will just say most recently, Brian is CEO of CrowdFusion, which creates a publishing platform that combines blogs with wikis and tagging and workflow management and pretty much all kinds of stuff. So I think that sort of that builds on the foundation that you started with Blogsmith. So let me see. I think one reason you're good. I mean, you're good at CMS design for two reasons. One is you're really good at code, but the other is you're really good at content. And I think one reason you're successful in these fields is that you design a content management system for people who love content and actually know how content works on the web. Would you say that's – I mean, you've been doing web content for like 18 years now, so –
Oh, yeah. No. So I started in print, you know, four color, right? Magazines, working with Business Week, working with Miller Freeman, companies like that. Back right after it was Gralla. I mean, ancient publishing stuff. And your point is exactly right. So the reason that I've had more than 20 CMSs, like for real companies, right, professional companies that have like lit, some of them live on from, you know, the year 2000 or 1998. I mean, crazy, crazy stuff. And the reason they work is because I'm a publisher. So I'll have meetings today around CrowdFusion with a giant media company, you know, 50 magazines, 30 magazines. And their first meeting, they're like, yeah, this pitch you're giving, it sounds too good to be true. I think you're just kind of – you don't know what it's like to be me. You know, like that's their answer. You really can't possibly – you're just kind of – you're lying to me, right? And then the second meeting, when then we actually dive in under the hood and we see what they're trying to solve with their own stuff versus how we solve things, they're like, oh, it's not too good to be true. You know things that I'm dealing with that I couldn't even articulate. And I mean, not to be, you know, crazy, but I'm a publisher. I mean, I build something, you know, I joked about the Photoshop tax before, but people spend, you know, 8 or 12 hours in Photoshop a day on certain jobs. That's just what you do. You live in that thing. And if Photoshop was horrible or there was a better product, but it just had a terrible interface and a terrible, you know, user experience, you would still use Photoshop because it is more friendly tools. So our teams are ridiculously conscious of the fact that a couple of hundred editors in an entire floor of some giant media company have to spend 12, 14 hours a day looking at our screens. So if our screens are horrible, if you have to hack and do little manual things or copy something out to Word or, you know, just cheat the system, we've failed, right? So you should be able to live in there comfortably and go to sleep at night and not go, I hate the CMS.
You don't want to happen what happens sometimes when you and I work together where we'd make where you would design a back end for a very tightly designed site, and then the client would want to make some change. Like, I'm going to add some visuals, even though there weren't any visuals in, you know, in this text field. And they would just sort of hack the HTML inside the, I mean, we've all had that experience of, it doesn't do this thing you didn't think I would want to do, so I'm going to make a terrible website and mess up your tool.
Right. Right. And no, that's the beauty of the WYSIWYG editors. Right. They're going to jam JavaScript in there, and they're going to paste a table from Excel, you know, or take a screenshot of a table from Excel and paste that into a blog post. So, yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting because CrowdFusion is a product, and you some time ago got out of client services and got into content development and product development, and that's really where you are. But from what you're describing, you're still in client services. It's just a different client. I mean, even though you've made this product and it's a platform, it's not, you know, you still have to meet with major clients and sit around the table and sell them on your understanding of their business. It sounds like.
You know, you're absolutely right. And so, you know, first off, wow, thanks for reminding me, because service work is, you know, so much fun. And I did get out of it. But second off, I mean, it's a little different, right? So we're listening to them, but we come to them with a strategy. Like we have, you know, here's the formula for conquering, you know, for making killer vertical sites, right? You want the ultimate site on cars, ultimate site on gadgets, healthcare, finance, food, you know, movies, whatever the thing is. You know, we have a plan for that. Here's our recipe. But at the same time, you know, as much as the publishers I'm talking about or the CTOs will say, oh my God, you actually know what it's like to be me. We don't know everything about their business. And if 15 right. different movie sites all used CrowdFusion to try to, you know, climb up the ComScore rankings and mm-hmm. you know, conquer the world there, they're going to do it differently. You know, Rotten Tomatoes is going to have a tomato meter and really shallow pages on each movie with big visuals and social features, right? Mm-hmm. IMDb is going to have all 300 people that worked on the movie. You know, it's a completely different take on it. So they each bring their own sort of expertise. And if you're not listening to that, then you're screwed, right? And so there's a balance between product and services. You'd want it to not be, you know, 90% services. Otherwise, you know, you're just a big service company. And I'd much rather focus on a product. But it's a balance.
The two clients you just mentioned, I take your point, and they were good examples. Are those actual clients? Are those actually – is IMDb on CrowdFusion?
No. Those are examples. It's very easy to give movie examples on because, you know, the ComScore
ranking. Right, sure. I use the movies all the time too. Okay, right. So here's a question. I'm going to want to find out who actually is on CrowdFusion. I know you've had some big news recently, but before I do, a lot of people listening to this podcast are web designers, web developers, right? So – and a lot of them are bloggers too. So is CrowdFusion, is it too much power for a blogger, or can it be scaled down? Is it something that I might use for Zeldman.com so that I could like add a wiki, or that I might put a list apart on? I mean,
not yet. I mean, not super, yet. The quick answer is not yet. It really
so
is.
It's really an enterprise level blogging tool.
Correct. Yep. So we're a small company. We have, you know, we'll be 20 people soon. We're, you know, about a little over a dozen now. And I always forget that we're a small company. I mean, we really are a small company because we have giant customers. So we sit in meetings talking about, you know, 75 million page traffic days and, you know, photo stuff and Akamai and load balancing and the cloud and all these things. So it's and then at the end of the week, I have to remember, oh, actually, we're still a small company. You know, we're a little frugal, right? But our customers are all gigantic, and that's a good place to start. I mean, there are a lot of VCs that I talk to, friendly VCs, you know, VC friends. You can actually have VC friends, and they look at it and they kind of, you know, map out the stripes. You know, there's the high end of the market, there's the medium end of the market, and there's the low end of the market, and even the low end of what we're doing, this enterprise stuff, probably isn't single person blogs, right? It's not a consumer blogging platform, you know, by any means. When you can build out the IMDb, or you can blog. You know, for blogging, choose a blog platform. You know, there's a lot of, you know, good reasons to do that. But the VC friends are like, you know, if I had to pick one of these stripes to start in, I would start in the giant customers stripe. It's a, you know, good strategy.
I was sitting in a meeting the other day. I'm on advisory board for someone else's product, and we were all having really interesting discussion. And then there was this one guy, I call him the Silver Fox. He's a guy who you just know he's been involved in a lot of really big internet business, as you have, but as I have not. And he just said in like 8 words, he's basically said, he didn't say you guys are kidding yourselves and you need to focus on this customer and have this kind of story he didn't dismiss it and say, or you're just a 100,000 heir, or you know what I mean? But it was like that. It was like, wow, this idea has the potential to be very big league, but, and he just said this simple thing with such moral authority that I was absolutely convinced that he was right. And you are in meetings like that all the time, I assume.
So I'm the guy with all the gray hair. Yes. If that's your roundabout way of pointing out that I have a lot of gray hair. I'm lucky enough to be in those, right? You know, it's really, really cool to watch, you know, giant things get created. And I mean, there's secret meetings all the time. And it's really cool. Yeah.
Can technology like you're developing save publishing? I mean, what's your, I think we just lost you for a second. Okay, there you are. What's your take as a print, with a guy with a print background who's been doing web stuff for 15 years and on the technical and content side? We see a lot of people trying a lot of things right now, and we talk to a lot of publishers, and that's one of the focuses of this show. What's your take on what's going on and what's a good way to survive? What would you tell people who are listening to the show wondering if what their magazine should do next?
Oh, absolutely. So just a couple different answers to that. I mean, CrowdVision was started with a specific model. You know, here's exactly what you need to do if you want the ultimate, movie site or gadget site, right? And it was, you know, breaking news plus landing pages in a database of all the stuff in that industry. You know, high SEO, aggregating content from all over the place. You know, a big deal. And the coolest thing about this last year and all the big companies that we're working with is absolutely none of them have followed that recipe. You know, we throw it out there. We say, here's all the weapons. Here's what you should do. And they don't do that. And they're not wrong. You know, there are many different ways to kind of get there. So we've learned a lot from them. And I would say I've actually backed off on certain things. Like, one of my original ideas was, if you're going to have a movie site, there's a million movies and 150,000 actors, let's say, in IMDb. I'm just guessing. I wouldn't launch a movie site without a million movies. And now I've kind of backed off on that. I'm like, you know, it could actually be launched with you saw the Flick guys, you know, the FFLIC, those guys, that startup that you signed up for, and then it kind of tweeted for you, but you didn't notice it was going to tweet for you. It was just bought by Google. So they had
it
a sort
was.
Of different. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. So I know them. I actually like them a lot.
Okay.
I met them.
Wrong.
But
that
yeah, it was acquired wrong. By Google. Actually, YouTube specifically is going to use those guys to do some very interesting things, right? So they didn't go and start with a million movie database. They started with, let's just find out what people are actually talking about. And maybe you can get around, get away with 10,000 movies. Because if somebody's not talking about, you know, Godfather 3 or something from the 50s that nobody actually watched the first time, do you actually need to put that in your database, right? So I've sort of tempered my ideas of how much my recipe is the ultimate recipe, and having a sort of well-funded R&D lab like this to work with people and see how they use your weapons, as you're evolving them, is fascinating and ridiculously lucky.
I teach a class at School of Visual Arts, and last night one of the students was asked, what if you have this great idea for a product, except you don't know if anyone will want it? And it almost sounds like a very naive question, but my experience in this field is that there are a lot of people who make stuff because they can. They don't start with a user need. They don't start by identifying. They make something because they want it. And often, readability started as – readability is by no means huge yet, but readability started because Rich Ziotti and his friends wanted to, like, kick back on the couch and read web articles without being distracted by sidebars. And 37 Signals, the canonical example, they started Basecamp and all their other stuff because they needed a tool. Twitter started as a side project, right? So in this time where everyone's experimenting and trying things, I think the idea that you can have a recipe and build a platform that's perfect for that recipe is nice, but ultimately there are people who are going to try crazy things, and some of them will succeed, or some tangent of what you're doing will succeed. You know what I mean? If we all knew, we'd all be succeeding wildly.
It's like 100% of the shots you don't take miss. That's one of the better quotes. And then I think Matt Mullenweg's 1.0 thing recently that he blogged about. Same kind of thing.
What's that? What was that?
He had a good blog post. It was 1.0 is the loneliest number, something like that. But it really just had to do with getting it out there. I mean, there was a big – so Jason and I used to have these conversations because I'm sort of that that guy who's going to take, or I was, and I've gotten over it, thank God. But I was the guy who would take, you know, a year to build something. And you'd watch Apple. He would talk about Apple and Microsoft. I think Guy Kawasaki was the one who said, don't worry, be crappy, where Microsoft would just ship Word 1.0 and then 2.0 and 3.0. And they were all horrible, or Windows 1 and 2 and 3 and then finally 3.1. And they would find their stride, but they're going to find their stride after they've charged a lot of people a lot of money. And Apple would sit there with people in a garage, you know, not a garage, an R&D lab for like 2 years working with – I think Tontek was on this project, like their document format, OpenDoc or something. And it was just going to change the world. But if you spend 3 or 4 years doing that in secret and just never get it out there, somebody else just made a couple $1 billion and they're going to crush you. So the quote Kawasaki was, don't worry, be crappy. Just get it out there and get feedback.
And everything's changing so quickly in this market now that if you – I mean with startups, there's never – the way that we like to – when we work together, the way that I still like to approach web design work, web development work is to take your time, do a lot of research – do a lot of iterations and all that. And with in the startup environment, if you spend 3 months doing research, someone else has already come to market with your idea. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not well executed, they're going to own the market. So you really have to move very quickly.
Yep. What positioning, first mover.
What about – and you've been – I think you were one of the first people to make a lot of money with blogging. I don't mean a lot of money, but to be very successful with – you and Jason and what you put together with Weblogs Inc. What was the before that was what Gawker? That was it. Really.
I mean,
there were millions of blogs.
Yeah, exactly. So there were a lot of like blog networks after that kind of tried and maybe didn't go anywhere. And then even a lot of people we worked with have spawned like, you know, I'm going to go do a blog network, and they ask me about it, and I go, it's not really a good idea anymore because big media companies own them and stick them on their welcome screens and, you know, direct lots of traffic to it, and you're fighting it. You get a disadvantage. You should probably figure out what's coming next, right? Some big social thing or something like that. But
right. Well, in this field, if you're catching up, you might as well not bother.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Starting a blog network today or 4 or 5 years ago, really bad idea. But I mean, we approached it as a business and we had a plan for it. And we were modeled, I'd say, more off of, you know, about.com than like a Gawker, because we weren't doing consumer stuff at the beginning. But if you think about it, when we were talking about it, I came up with two names. It was Weblogs Inc. and Blogsmith. Those were the first two names for it. And we decided Blogsmith would be the platform, and then Weblogs Inc. would be the company. And it literally meant like Weblogs Incorporated, professional blogging, not amateurs. And that was the message we wanted to send. Safe to advertise here. We know our stuff. And it worked out.
It certainly did. Where are you going next? What are you working on next, since you're talking about paying attention to where things are going?
Like I said, we had we've been doing crowdfusion for 3 or 4 years. I expect to do for another 16 or 17.
You were doing a comic thing right before that. Whatever happened with that?
It's still around, Comic Mix. So, but that is a publishing business. And even on crowdfusion, we kind of started out with this idea of, hey, we have this killer idea to make the ultimate site on any topic. So who better to use these awesome, fantastic, powerful weapons than us? I mean, who else is going to get inside this tank and flip all the levers and go out and conquer stuff? The only problem is we raised money to do this July of 08. I think it was August of 08 that the ad economy died. So we always knew there was sort of a plan A or a phase one for our business, which is do a bunch of sites on topics that we love ourselves, right? Where we know a lot of gadget bloggers. We know a lot of, you know, anybody can write about, well, not anybody can write about movies, but anybody can kind of write about TV shows, right? So take all the topics we know, but we knew there was going to be sort of a second phase for CrowdFusion where we would be renting out the weapons, you know, renting out these tools to big companies, because we don't do celebrity gossip. You know, I don't dive through, you know, people's stuff and show up at clubs, right? And we don't do finance and healthcare, and there's just so many other topics that we don't, you know, have a ton of friends who write about. So we knew there'd always be sort of that second phase, that plan B, and it just happened that with the economy and the advertisers all sort of disappearing, you know, the minute we got things ready to go, they were kind of gone, and everybody thought the world was going to end in September, October of 2008. You know, it was everything was over. The whole thing, every magazine was going to be out of business in minutes. It didn't happen, fortunately. But, you know, we just quickly shifted and said, all right, let's pivot. Let's go out and talk to publishers. We spent a lot of time talking to a lot of really good publishers. And then, boom, here we are actually working with many of them. And it's informed our model. And I'll tell you the two best ways that it's actually changed what we do. When we had this idea, so 3-4 years ago, we had this idea for what you should do. We had a lot of different engines. There's a breaking news, sort of like a blogging engine in it. There's a database of products or movies or whatever your, you know, IMDb, your landing page type stuff is. There's a tagging engine. There's aggregation, you know, all these different features. And two that weren't on our roadmap, which have got to be our most popular things today, were the cloud and mobile. So pretty much everybody we're working with has some mobile angle, if not a mobile priority. And then the other thing is, you know, we did all this on, you know, laptops and servers way back when. But by the time we first started working with giant customers, it was clear that the cloud is the future. You can't possibly host anywhere other than the cloud. And nobody wants to spend, you know, let's say your best traffic days, you're going to need 40 servers, you know, or, you know, some number of grand a month, right? 40 grand a month, some big bill. It's pretty horrible when you don't have those traffic days and you're still paying for all the servers. So the cloud is just neat. So, you know, mobile and the cloud have to be the two coolest things that have kind of come along and infected our model.
So, Brian, let's talk not just about what CrowdFusion is from the public perspective, but there's projects and things that you guys are doing that maybe people don't really know about. That, I mean, I'm guessing we can talk about this because there was some big news about it, but you don't just make websites. Apparently, it's behind the scenes publishing some other things, and one of them is this little app called The Daily.
We love The Daily.
And you guys are behind that from the content serving standpoint. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. We're that's one of those sort of once-in-a-lifetime projects that you kind of get the honor to work on, you know, where they assemble people from all around their own media empire and then pluck them from outside the empire and kind of stick them in a couple conference rooms and, you know, dream up something new and amazing. And so, yeah, so that's really cool. So we're working on that. So I guess the conception there is it's a web CMS, but I mean, web is HTTP, right? So that can speak to Android devices and iPad apps and Flash games and Facebook, and, you know, you name it. You know, what you actually do with it is, you know, sort of up to your imagination.
So, I mean, how does this work? Walk me through this. Let's say I'm a publishing company and I'm out there. I'm saying, well, what software we're going to use to publish our stuff out to the web? We could look at the things that are essentially blogging tools. We could build our own thing. We could go with to you guys. I mean, how are people, or even and this is something that the people in the chat room were saying, you know, what advantages do small publishers have over those bigger networks and sites? Do they have more options available to them, and how do they find their way to CrowdFusion?
So I'm trying to kind of wrap my head around your question. Yeah. So the options that small publishers have, I mean, small publishers have, I mean, if you're small, you can actually use a blogging platform to do your job. If you have a giant media company or a magazine or something like that, I mean, you very quickly can't just use a blogging platform to power what you do. You can power the blogs portion of the New York Times or something like that, but you can't actually power your whole.
So why is that? Why can't you do that? Why couldn't you use something? For example, we've had Matt on the show. I'll pick on WordPress. Why couldn't you use WordPress to do something bigger?
So first off, one of my favorite people on earth, Matt Mullenweg, really neat guy. I love the guy. You can't build like anything I mentioned, IMDb. How are you going to build that in WordPress? You can do about pages in WordPress, or you can do custom tables. At that point, you're just using PHP and MySQL, and you're on your own, right? Mm. So you couldn't use WordPress to power the IMDb. Maybe he has plans to change that. But our stuff, one of the reasons we work so well with that is we have great tools around structured data. And so blogging is a really limited, easy subset of structured data, but it's just not our focus at all. So when you're a big company and you have a federation of brands throughout some big media empire, you know, take I don't want to name anybody in particular, but you're one of the big four networks or something, and you have or you're I mean, when I was at AOL, right? I was at AOL. They had at one point I think they counted 92 content silos. And so you have to think of how you work with blogging, you know, blogging platform like Weblogs Inc. and Blogsmith, but also, I mean, they have MapQuest, they have their welcome screen. You know, how much of that are you going to run with blog software?
Yeah. No, I mean, so it's a legitimate thing, but I think people don't often realize what goes into it. Maybe they start off thinking too small, but don't some companies think too big? I mean, you were describing at the beginning, Jeffrey was saying, well, would I use CrowdFusion for my own website? How do you know? How do you know when you're ready for it? How do you know when you're ready? And why not build something? Why not just build it on your own? If you think, oh, I know Python, I know Rails, whatever, you know, why not just build our own system?
So there are two things that I think any one of these big giant media companies at scale are looking at besides when they talk to us, right? And we're, it's hard to say where we fit in. I had some ideas about what we were before we started working these companies. And then later on, as we've worked with them, it turns out, wait a minute, we have this awesome platform for managing fire hoses of data that are, you know, tweets and tens of thousands of feeds and all this stuff. And it's just, you know, watching how they use it changes that. So I mean, we've also been told several times calling this a CMS is just selling yourself short. It's a giant like glue that we actually hold together CMSs. We have things where we've worked with people who have 6 WordPress blogs over here and you know, topic data and all this stuff, and we glue it all together for them. And then we can be your presentation layer, or we can pump it into your own company's presentation layer, right?
So in a way, you're still doing client work, right? I mean, you're still doing that kind of...
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We haven't really left it.
No, not at all.
So. I mean, 37 Signals is still doing client work too. Sure. It's just they've got a million clients.
Right.
And hopefully bigger clients. I mean, so that's the thing.
So let me ask you this. I've got a list apart, and it's a really good magazine, and a regular blogging platform probably isn't robust enough. We're using kind of a hacked version of Expression Engine right now to, and formerly, both you and Dan, this is freaky, but both you and Dan developed really beautiful custom CMSs for List Apart. And you know, and the nice thing about a custom CMS is it does exactly what you want it to do. Instead of, here's this awesome tool, now I'm going to just like, now I'm going to make it do what I want it to. I mean, you guys, that's what you were doing in code, so we didn't have to do it, you know, in mid, what it's between back end and front end, mid end.
Sure.
You know, right? Okay, but... what's to prevent someone like me from going, you know what, I really think a List Apart should have a wiki, and it should have, and we really do want to add discussion, and we really do want to start aggregating what other people, you know, why should our competitors publish every 2 hours with anytime anyone does anything on the web? We should be able to aggregate that junk and put it in the sidebar too. You know, let's say I wanted to do that. I'm not naming names, I saw you smiling, but would this be the way to achieve that end?
No, it absolutely
it's not so, right so for me just, is it's too complex? Is it too expensive?
Absolutely not too complex. We need to productize more. So, you know, the stuff that we're doing with these companies, we're building out a lot of great tools. We're reusing them throughout all the customers. But, you know, once you get past, you know, 10, 12 customers, hopefully you've productized more. And then we'll do a list apart.
Think about Etsy. Let's say Etsy wanting to add functionality and coming to you and saying like, I don't know. Maybe they can't afford, but we're not going to approach you like a giant corporation. We're still a small startup, really. But we want to do these big things. Like you said, make an off the shelf version of your product with optional modules I can add. Are you going to do that?
It's a great idea. I mean, you have to get there. You can't do custom installations for everybody for the rest of your life. You know, you can't do just the service and all that stuff. So
you could
partner with a
small agency that would like set up its clients on that, though. I don't mean me. I mean,
we've actually talked to some, I would say probably back when it was too early. I mean, I talked to companies 3 years ago before I had a platform at all. CrowdFusion didn't exist. You know, we can't go put a newspaper brand on our stuff, but we can kind of swap war stories and strategies and, you know, and give them kind of a push in the right direction and see what they do with it. Absolutely. We're getting there. We're doing a lot of like things, like I said, with big giant companies, and we'll productize more.
Cool.
We're about out of time, aren't we, Jeffrey? Right. I hate to say this, but we started a couple minutes late and now we're kind of hitting the wall. So, Brian, if people want to find out more about CrowdFusion or what you're working on, or if they're sitting there thinking, well, we are kind of graduating, maybe we should check this out. How do they find you? How do they get in touch? Or what's the best places to go For you, for a full serving of Brian Alvey.
You've got it right there under my face. I mean, you know, Brian Alvey on Twitter, CrowdFusion on Twitter. Twitter is the best place to go to get in touch with us. I mean, you guys flashed the website earlier. We had put up a that site maybe a year and a half ago when we were on stage at TechCrunch 50 talking about our stuff, and that's just so out of date. And I'm looking at the headline that was written by not me and all this. Anyway, what's the last post on there from a year ago, right?
South by Southwest video, March 23rd, 2010.
Correct.
Just so, change the last word in that sentence. And
yeah,
good to
change
go.
It to 2011, and you're still up to date.
Yeah, I think we actually spent that South by Southwest building TMZ out on our platform. So it's kind of it was like a working code jam more than it was a South by Southwest for us.
So that's the best place. Twitter, Brian Alvey on Twitter, yep. And Jeffrey, they can follow you if they don't already at Zeldman on Twitter, which is easy.
Zeldman
to
on Twitter and Zeldman.com. Brian, you'll be at South by Southwest this year.
Not this year. Not this
no?
year. We've got a lot going on.
Okay.
So, we have more customers coming up and more stuff for the original batch of customers.
Well, I will see you in New York, and we'll look for you around the scene and maybe have you back on the show. You're a wonderful guest. Thank you very much for making time for us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brian. Really appreciate you being here.
Thank you both. Bye, Dan. Bye, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to Rackspace.com and Shopify.com. And we'll see you all next week.